Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen. Learn.
Welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews.
Hi, Christy.
Hello, Michelle. I'm happy to be here.
Again.
Here we go.
Here we go in the closet again. I mean, we're sitting in our closets. We're not in the closet. We want to talk about something really important. So, do you ever wonder how much a wedding costs?
That's definitely the number one source of, I would say, confusion and frustration and shock. I think we could throw shock in there.
Shock and awe.
Yes, and sticker shock. So Michelle and I have put together an outline for today's episode, and we are talking about budget, overall budget. And the big thing we kept coming to, no matter what we were writing down and sort of brainstorming, was about staying realistic within your budget. And the only way to do that is to know basically what a wedding costs, the real deal. And that's a really hard number to come up with because there's just so much information out there about it.
And you know, if you've never done this before, you're not going to know. Nobody, you know, unless you're an event planner or you've been married a couple times, of which maybe you have. I ain't judging you. You don't know how much it costs. And a lot of times I will have, you know, on my website, there is an inquiry form. And one of the questions is, what is your wedding budget? And half the time when people respond, they say, I don't know.
Yeah, leave it blank.
And some will put like 10,000 and I'll be like, well, they probably don't really know.
Yeah. What does that mean? Maybe they think we're asking what their wedding budget is just for a planner.
Yes.
In those cases. Yeah. That's what I always try to figure.
And, you know, and sometimes, I'm just going to say this right off the bat, money is a difficult subject to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a society, we are taught, don't talk about how much money you make, you know. Don't give it away. Everything's a negotiation.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people, when I ask that question, what's your wedding budget, they're right away a little apprehensive, like, oh no, she's gonna charge me based on how much my wedding costs. I don't know how much it costs, you know, how much, what my budget is anyway, but I'm certainly not gonna speak about money with this person I don't know.
Right.
Totally understandable.
And you only know how much a wedding truly costs after your wedding. So then you can say, like, well, we threw our original budget totally out the window after we decided we cannot live without the number one band in all of Northern California performing at our wedding. So at that point, people tend to figure it out. And I will say that budgets are fluid. I think it says in both of our contracts that we cannot guarantee as a planner, because it's not our money. It's easier for us to talk about, and we're more knowledgeable about where the money goes. But at the end of the day, it's your money. and you're the one, you're spending it. You're deciding where it goes. So I can't tell you to pull back when you've decided to change the plan up. But we can help you at this point. Let's say we're calling this the very beginning of the process, planning process. We want to talk about how to come up with that original range that you will be working within.
Yes. So, you know, and a lot of times one of the two people getting married will like be like, oh, the sky's the limit. I don't care. I just want that, you know, my wedding day. Whereas the other partner is like, holy shit. Are you kidding me right now?
Right. We need to buy a house sometime in the next 5 years. And that's our down payment.
And you want to go on a honeymoon after this? What? Mm-hmm. Like, no, that we're not, you know, I can't, you know, what? The venue's going to cost $30,000?
What percentage of that is your overall, how much we're going to spend? We have all these formulas that we've sort of worked out from years of doing weddings, but also there's ways to just plug in some numbers and get some information on the front end so that all the math trickles out and you can see how it all affects everything else and where you need to move some money around. So we're advocates of spreadsheets and doing a little Excel formulas. We're into that and sort of committing to each other that you're going to stick to this range. That's really important. And, you know, once you have that budget, you have to talk about where that money is coming from. Are your parents helping? Are you guys doing it yourselves? Is there sort of a collective planning committee here, or is it just two people and their bank accounts?
And please, I cannot reiterate this enough. Please make this the first thing you do in the planning process. Come up with a budget. Please don't call vendors and book them without knowing your budget. Don't go like, oh, that DJ's cheap. You know, I'm gonna book that DJ. Who cares? You know, I'll figure out my figure out your budget first and foremost before anything, please.
Mm-hmm. Lots of ways to break it down. One number you have to work with, or a small range of numbers you have to work with. We'll talk about all the ways that it breaks down and where the most money ends up going. But the main thing is you gotta have that number.
So let's talk.
Yes, there's an awesome website, right, that we can go to initially.
So the first tip here, ladies and gents, is a lovely website called theweddingreport.com. Very, very awesome website, widely used by wedding professionals who are in business, because it contains a lot of statistics and market research that is gathered over the course of many years now that is excellent information for us as professionals and know who we want to market to. However, if you go to the homepage of theweddingreport.com, you're going to see a little box under the word market search that says enter U.S. zip code.
Super helpful. It's always updating. They're always updating their information. It's, you know, you may get a questionnaire email after you get married if you're on somebody's, you know, listserv about that you will help to create this information. But they're really current stats about how much things cost overall in your area. There's a huge difference between a wedding in San Francisco and a wedding in Oklahoma, and whether it's, you know, a big city or a small town, and what different options there are geographically, ton of variance. So this website is great. Just plug in your zip code and see what an average wedding costs in that area. Now we can talk about what that means.
And we can talk about that what that means. And why we're telling you to go to theweddingreport.com is because the number one driver of what a wedding costs is based very much on geographic locations. So what a wedding is going to cost in New York City is not necessarily, you know, what a wedding is going to cost in Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. right? So that it's very driven by where you live. So we go to theweddingreport.com. We type in a little zip code of the area, the metropolitan area we're getting married, or city if you know exactly what city it is. But once you type in that zip code, the search results come up with several options. And it's kind of fun to look at. You can click on United States. It'll tell you what the average wedding is in the U.S. You can click on the region. You can click on the actual state you're getting married in. And oftentimes what I think is most helpful is that metropolitan area if you're getting married close to a larger city. So I typed in my zip code, for example, and I'm going to click on the Boston, Cambridge, Newton metropolitan area. And this tells me that last year, an average wedding costed $39,695.
And that's, so you like that, doing the region, so that it gives you more of more space to play within that with venues, whether it's a city venue or a nice suburb.
Yeah.
To look at the whole region once you get that number.
Right, right. Metro region. So again, if I'm getting married close to a big city, then I'm going to click on the metro region. But if I'm getting, you know, married just in the state of Massachusetts, that's like, you know, 2 hours away from Boston, then I'm just going to click on the state
Got
of
it.
Massachusetts. Yeah. Which, by the way, the average wedding in Massachusetts was $1,000 less, $38,505. So not a huge difference.
Still more than the national average, I would assume.
Yeah, the United States last year was $26,645.
That's exactly what I was going to say. So the Knot or some other wedding wire put out that the average wedding cost a little under 27 grand. And as a wedding planner, sometimes I get inquiries where that is what the person has read and that is what they have in mind. Now, tell me about that fancy hotel in downtown Dallas. That's what we want for that price. And you're in an uphill battle from the beginning, and you're going to think of all the ways to cut corners. And that's kind of a crappy way to start off the planning process, is like, how do we start begging for things not to be as expensive as they are, because you've already set yourself up with a number that's wrong for that area.
Definitely.
For that city, you know.
Definitely.
So if the wedding report's talking about what an average cost of a wedding is in that city or geographic area or state, we can talk to you about what counts as an average wedding. So that, you know, this is the proportions. This is what they're talking about.
So now we come to some details here, and you can just kind of think, So an average wedding size, an average wedding is about 125 guests.
See, size does matter in this case. Like, it really, really matters, because you're going to get charged per head, ultimately. For the biggest part of your budget, you're getting charged per head. So 125, everybody's going to have dinner. Everyone's going to have a couple drinks maybe in that, but you can't do that with twice that many people.
Yeah. So if you are thinking that you're going to have about 200 guests and you have enough money for an average size wedding, you've got to shave your guest list. You have to be realistic.
Mm-hmm. Compromise.
Compromise. Thank you.
That's probably 95% of our job also, is working out those compromises with clients. So, you know, don't fear. Don't fear the compromise. You have help. People can help lead you.
I might add 95% of a marriage compromise.
Yeah. So it's good to just get the practice in.
Yeah. Just start it now. So 125 guests, and the venue. Your reception venue is of an average wedding is likely going to be a decent hotel or a nice restaurant, right? Not, you know, that 5-star hotel or Michelin rated with a Michelin rated restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's going to be something nice.
Right.
Yeah.
It's above a Howard Johnson, below a Four Seasons, and it is a place that does weddings.
Yes.
So that's something to consider.
They have packages.
So, yes, they have packages. They are used to doing weddings. They know what they're doing. So it's not some grand estate that you can get a good deal on, but they've never done a wedding there. And it's just, you're starting totally from scratch, bringing everything in. So the average reception venue is a nice hotel that has a ballroom and has your basic chicken or fish on entree.
And- and they probably have space for your ceremony,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if you are getting, if you want your ceremony in a church, that's still doable because churches, especially if you're a member of the congregation, are typically really affordable. But then you have to think about timing and the number of hours you need your photographer.
Transportation.
Because if you do everything in one spot, you're going to simplify things and you're going to need less hours of each vendor. And that being said, I would say the average wedding from start to finish, right? From the time you're allowed to arrive on site and your vendors are allowed to get set up to the time the last dance is about 6 hours.
Right. I think that's going to be the average package you would get with most of these like wedding machine sort of venues. And then from there, you can add on hours before or after most of the time. But 6 hours is going to be the package.
Yep.
And for an average wedding, we keep saying average, and I feel like average has this sort of negative connotation, but we're talking statistics.
Not... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a nice
wedding. This is not like a shoestring budget we're talking about.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, a wedding that I'd like to go to.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You have fun.
Most of the things at every wedding you go to would make up what we're talking about here. That's why it's the average. It's right in the middle. So we're talking about a simple meal. We're talking about a nice hotel, a DJ, not a band. Bands tend to be 2, 3, 4 times as expensive as DJs. And then you are saying yes to all of the basics, all of the house rentals. So chairs, tables, linens, silverware, glassware. For a big old budget wedding, people spend a ton of money on specialty items. But for this wedding, what counts in this wedding report average, you're going to use what comes with the venue that is all part of their setup fee, all part of their process.
Package.
Yeah.
Your meal is going to be probably chicken, fish, veggie option.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's not much of a difference between buffet and seated or plated meals anymore.
No.
So both of those could be within this realm of possibility here.
Yep.
And your bar, which usually goes hand in hand with the proposal you'll get for your food, is going to be maybe 3 hours of open bar, but beer and wine only likely with some non-alcoholic beverages. And then most venues have a complimentary champagne toast for all the guests as well, which is
they call it complimentary.
Nice.
They do. They call it complimentary. Isn't that cute?
They call it complimentary. It's definitely worked in. But you can choose when to do it, and that's a nice, bit of flexibility.
Yeah. And florals are going to be modest, whatever's in season, some basic centerpieces for each table, maybe a few larger arrangements, nothing hanging or installations.
Yes.
Again, nice, some really pretty flowers, but very simple. You've got a big budget. You could spend hours upon hours of planning the flowers, and just like you could spend hours upon hours of choosing which forks you're going to use.
Yes. And all that is super fun for usually one person out of the couple.
If you're into that kind of thing.
And for the wedding planner and the designer, we love that stuff. But suffice to say, most of the weddings I do, they don't spend a ton of money on flowers. They might in other places, but the flowers are still beautiful when we walk into a room and noticeable, and they dress up the whole room. So, there's flexibility within all of these, but these are those nice, lush arrangements you would see in the middle of every table, not, a hanging chandelier of upside down orchids that were rescued from Kim Kardashian's wedding. This is different than that.
Or dogwood everywhere.
Yes.
Your photographer is probably going to be like a 6-hour package, maybe 8, depending on the price. Not a really high end photographer. Again, someone who's, we keep using this word average. What's the synonym for average?
Typical?
Typical.
Median?
Maybe.
Mid-level?
I'm looking it up. I'm just gonna go there. I'm looking it up. A number expressing the central or typical value in a set of data. Mm-hmm. Mean, median.
Yeah, I said that.
Norm. Did you say mean?
I said median. I don't want to say hire a mean photographer.
Oh, no, not mean.
Yeah, but we are talking, all of these are statistics. I mean, there's...
Yeah.
The important thing with photography, again, there will be an entire episode dedicated to wedding photography. But one thing to keep in mind is that you want somebody who has shot weddings before, because they are a completely different beast than journalistic photography or studio photography or any other photography. So there's plenty of photographers in your area, and some are going to be more expensive. For this average, typical, median wedding, you're going to find one on the lower half of the price range. And probably you will not have a videographer. That tends to be one of the first vendors to go.
Unfortunately,
sticking to a budget. Everything's up to you. It's your money. We're just trying to give you an idea of the average so that you can come up with your own range. And our sort of formula for that Michelle has come up with, and I think kind of covers all the bases with creating that initial budget, has three elements. And once you talk about these three elements and figure them out, geographic location as the first one, which we just talked about what an average wedding is, then there's two more elements, and the three together create your wedding budget that you can work with from the beginning. So we got all three.
So geographic location, number of guests, and the style of your wedding. So, you know, all this stuff that we've been talking about, mean, median, average, whatever, you know, then you customize it to you, right? So you may be like, well, I only want 50 people there. And I, you know, my parents have a beautiful house with a huge backyard. We're getting married in, you know, July. And I don't care too much about, flowers. Or we don't drink alcohol. There won't be any alcohol at this wedding. I mean, there's so many different scenarios. And that's what's important. No matter what your budget is, just make this wedding about the two of you. Customize it to you. Don't make it a cookie cutter. I mean, a cookie cutter wedding to me is an absolute waste of money. You might as well throw that money out the window. You know, just go give it to somebody, because you want this wedding to be about the two of you, and you want your guests to go in and say, oh, that is so Christy.
Yeah.
She loves, ever since she was a little girl, she's loved owls. And look at that, you know, so cute. All those vintage owls on the table, you know, whatever it is, like, or that's her face. You know, Michelle loves Michael Jackson. So, of course, we've got Michael playing every 10 minutes.
Totally. Like, wedding, like, speaks to Jill and Liz. That's the kind of party they would throw. That's the kind of party they would love to be at. I mean, that you can do on any budget. And we really that. And I would tell potential clients sitting in front of me that we can work with any budget. You just have to be willing to compromise. And when you're working on those spreadsheets and you decide you're not going to have alcohol or you don't want a videographer, you take that line item and you add it somewhere else where it matters. So talking about your budget is really just talking about your priorities with each other. And that's why you need to be realistic. You're talking to the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, and maybe also that person's parents and your own parents. But be realistic. Everybody's an adult. Really just talk about staying grounded and, you know, don't get crazy, like we've said before. And that doesn't have anything to do with budget. That just has to do with expectations. So be realistic about these numbers. You have geographic averages, guest size, and style of your wedding, how elevated of an event this is going to be. Those three elements, combine them all together, work out some numbers, plug it all in, and you've got a great point to start.
Yes. And, you know, another important thing, and, you know, you might be someone who works in finance or is an accountant or does budgeting for a living, but if you're not, when you create your wedding budget, make sure that you have a range instead of a firm number. So, you know, if you say, all right, we realistically can spend $25,000. I do know that I'm going to get a bonus this year, and it's probably going to be around $7,000. So I can say safely that my budget will be hopefully 25, but if I have to, after I get my bonus, it could go up to 30, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever, you know, whatever your scenario is, but let's make sure that you have a range,
right,
for your budget.
25 to 30, and I would keep in mind that wedding budgets almost always go slightly over the intended amount. So call that a buffer. The range is a buffer, or 25 to 30. But if we spend 32, that's the final hard stop. So a range within a range. And
range within a range.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we jotted down some notes also, actually, because I'm in the middle of planning a couple weddings right now, and we are in this very situation where we have two families involved, and money is going to be a factor. Let's say they are modest. That's how I refer to it when I'm talking to other vendors, in their budget. So their range is about 45 to 50, which sounds like a lot of money, but they want 350 guests.
Oh,
so
whoa.
There you go. That's the, those are the variables we're working with. 50 grand is nothing to sneeze at. That's a, I mean, that's a down payment on a very nice house. That's how much money they have to spend on this wedding. And they are flexible in a lot of ways. They're flexible on their date. They're flexible on their month. They're even flexible on their year. We pushed it to 2017 now. So those are all things to keep in mind as elements that are going to help stay within the set budget, because there is a season for weddings. Generally, in most of the country, it's from April through October. Here in Texas, it's, I would say, May it starts. But if you're willing to get married in August, you're going to get a better deal, because August is horrible here in Texas. But so they know you'll get a better deal, and you have to do the whole thing inside. Also, the most expensive day is Saturday. So this couple I'm working with is open to Fridays or Sundays. That's really great. That works in their favor when we're looking at these venues and starting to get quotes. Also, holiday weekends can affect, you know, negatively or positively. So those are sort of some big factors we can consider when we're trying to stay within a pretty healthy budget, but also we have a large guest count. So that's what we're working with.
Yes. So you have an idea now. You have an idea how to get your starting point. So do yourself a favor. Go to theweddingreport.com. Enter the zip code of the geographic area you plan on getting married in. And that's going to give you a starting point. And then just talk openly with your future spouse. Sit down. Figure it out. Talk with anyone who wants to, you know, help you out financially with the wedding. Contribute. Thank you. And, you know, if you feel like the two of you can pay for it on your own and you don't need anybody else's input, awesome. But, you know, it's nice to have a little contribution.
Yes, even if that includes another cook in the kitchen. Yeah. Sometimes it's worth it for
sometimes
for the extra money. But that's all stuff to consider. And the one thing Michelle and I don't have any power or say in, there's many things probably, but one of the things is the family dynamics that come into what wedding planning is, what the wedding is, and the money side of it. I mean, it's like talking about politics or religion at the Thanksgiving table. It's complicated. Your family is complicated, and we are not in your family. So sometimes,
I mean, my family's complicated. Your family's complicated.
Everyone's complicated. And it, when you add money to the list of topics of conversation, we know it can get sticky. So, you know, take some time. This can also be when you're enjoying just being engaged. You can also think about money before you jump into anything or make any big decisions.
Yeah, it's a good icebreaker, because you're going to be talking about that for the rest of your lives.
It's good to know how to talk about that.
Bring your shoulders down away from your ears. Take deep breaths. Oh, don't walk out of the room.
Don't roll your eyes.
Don't roll. Oh, mm-hmm. God. Don't roll your eyes. I know this from experience.
Yeah, me too. I'm an eye roller.
I am too. And I don't even care. Now I'm noticing it. But yeah. Yeah, yeah. And a couple other things. Keep a line item in your budget for miscellaneous stuff.
Mm-hmm. And things come up.
Yeah, things come up. Things come up. And also keep a line item in your budget for tipping your vendors, right? Gratuities.
Yeah.
Something a lot of people don't think about when they're starting out and, you know, okay, now I've got a number. Now I'm going to, you know, I'm going to itemize everything. Got it. Everything's in there, right? Yeah, everything's there. Okay. And then a month before the wedding, you're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that thing's to be like, some wiggle, you know, room.
10 servers that are going to work at our wedding, you know, serving dinner, and, you know, and that assistant who's helping the DJ and, you know, bringing mm-hmm. in all that equipment, and, you know, the photographer's assistant and the photographer, he or herself, you know, anybody who is working on your wedding day, guaranteed they're going to work hard. Right. And they deserve a little thank you.
Yeah, it's so. Never expected. I mean, it's expected for the hotels because they write it straight into their budget sometimes.
It's in it, yeah.
But you still might see somebody cleaning up, you know, a bunch of macaroni and cheese off of the wall because some kid at table 17 just flung it. That person went above and beyond. So we both give our clients like a tip.
Tipping etiquette.
Yeah, etiquette form. And it says at the top, this is totally up to you, that these are just some guidelines. And I always tell my couples that it might be helpful to just have a bunch of 20s that you give, you know, that you keep in your own pocket or that you give to your best man or something. In the event that you see anybody going above and beyond or it comes to your attention that somebody did something beyond the call of duty, it's nice to have the money to say thank you then. This is a very important day. For you, it's just another day of work for the team that's there, and they do a good job. It's the same way, you know, when you go to a restaurant, you can tip what you want. It's not required, but it makes the world go round with this industry, so it's helpful.
Yes, ma'am. I think that wraps it up for wedding budget episode.
Yeah, we will talk. We'll have a whole nother episode, I feel like.
Yeah, we're going to do a follow-up to this because I really feel like we need to break down guest list, mm-hmm. right? How to create a guest list, how to shave off a guest list, mm-hmm. how to deal with people who say, I'm not invited.
Right.
Which and happens. Also, which
time.
Totally happens.
Yeah, more than
every wedding. Yep. And also talk about choosing a wedding date,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how that, those two elements, again, guest list and the wedding date, as well as the venue. We'll talk about that as well. Have a lot to do and contribute to your wedding budget. So
yes.
We will talk about that. But this in and of itself is a lot to think about. You got some work to do. Any final thoughts, Miss Christie?
Yes. One important thing, and I would make a bumper sticker of this if I could, and I slap it on all my wedding binders, and that is everything is negotiable. You have to know how to negotiate. You can't be insulting and you can't have crazy expectations about how it's going to go. All it takes is people asking.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, yeah, we can do that. Absolutely. Sure, we can throw in an extra night at the bridal suite. You know, whatever. These are all possibilities. Work with the budget you have and still, you know, get the wedding that you want.
Very good. Thank you very much, madam.
Yes, you are welcome. Thank you. Lots of information here.
Lots of info. Lots of info. We could talk about this forever. But we wanted to give you the key points. And to that end, whatever else you need to know, can you please email us or tweet us or even about this episode? Maybe there's something we didn't cover. Maybe you have questions about the budget that we didn't answer. We welcome all of your questions, comments, you know.
All of our
recipes,
contact
of
info.
Food we can cook for dinner.
Yeah, recipes, crock pots mostly.
What is your workout regimen? Whatever.
Yeah, all crock of our pots. Contact info is on the website at thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And our Twitter handle is at TBWP podcast, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Podcast. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.com is the website. please do send us information, questions, and thank you so much for listening. And if you have a chance, go on iTunes, subscribe, rate us, whatevs. We love you guys. Thank you. Love you, Christy.
Love you. See you soon.
Peace. Bye.